Welcome to the January and February edition of the AES Journal Podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. There is an eclectic mix of topics represented in the four research papers and two engineering reports that we're publishing in this issue. First in the running is a paper by Florian Straub and his colleagues on how to optimize the curving of line source arrays. Such arrays are used in sound reinforcement to facilitate precisely controlled sound coverage over an area, and different venues need their curvature to be adopted appropriately. Here, the authors present a purely analytical approach to this known as polygonal audience line curving, which is based on the receiver area geometry and the intended coverage. Loudspeaker cabinets can be rigged with different tilt angles and also often be electronically controlled as well, in order to control the radiation of sound, and the authors show some advantages of their approach using technical quality measures. Sahar Hashamjaloujardi and Mark Bacco explain that the precise modeling of room impulse responses is essential in many acoustic signal processing applications, often using a small number of parameters. It's a challenge because real responses can be very complex and change depending on source and microphone locations. As a result, they propose a subband multi-channel method that can deal with long impulse responses and is robust against such variations. It turns out to be computationally efficient and seems to model the room responses accurately. Class D amplifiers, or switch mode amplifiers, have become widely used for audio in recent years because they are very efficient and can now achieve very low distortion. Nikolai Dahl and his colleagues look at the optimal control of such an amplifier using modern control theory methods. They describe a linear controller based on a state space model that uses a linear quadratic regulator, and they verify it on both a linear and a switching model. Measurements conformed closely to theoretical predictions, and the approach achieved a 30-fold reduction in THD plus noise compared to open-loop operation. Moving away from signal processing, James Woodcock's paper deals with the elicitation of expert knowledge to inform object-based rendering for different loudspeaker systems. The idea was to discover the common mix processes used by sound designers when mixing object-based audio to systems having different numbers of channels, and to understand how the perceptual results changed when they did so. Informed by that, it was hoped to minimize differences between various renderings done using VBAP and matrix-based downmixing. Low bitrate codec testing on speech material usually involves the evaluation of quality degradation using standard methods such as MUSHRA, often in multiple labs around the world, and often in languages that are different to those of the test subjects. Nadja Schinkel-Belfield and her colleagues wanted to know whether the lack of understanding of the language and its phonemes affected the listeners' quality ratings and their time to make judgments. For high-quality items, it turned out that the listeners needed more time to rate samples not in their native language, and it took more effort to compare different audio signals. The upshot seemed to be that the non-native language factor would not be a major challenge for international listening tests, but it might make tests slightly less efficient. Stephen Neese, Aaron Lanterman, and Jennifer Hassler explain that sound synthesis is often conceptually divided into elements such as oscillators, filters, amplifiers, and so forth. Modern field-programmable analog arrays have made possible new types of analog music synthesizers with more flexibility and higher levels of integration that merge audio processing and parametric control. In their engineering report, the authors describe implementations of elements such as voltage-controlled oscillators and envelope generators on such arrays using current-starved inverters. Moving to the back section of this month's journal, there's a report on the progress of various AES standards groups, including loudspeaker modeling and measurement, microphone measurement, and audio applications of networks. Anyone with a legitimate interest can get involved with an AES standards group, and you'll find further information about how to do so on the AES standards webpages. Our feature this month is about automotive audio and looks into some of the papers from last year's conference on the topic. The active control of noise levels and sound quality in cars is a pronounced theme in recent research. There's now plenty of processing power available on system-on-chip devices, and this can be used to centralize all the functions needed. We find that Fast digital buses can be used for transferring audio and control data between elements of the automotive audio system, reducing the need for large cable bundles. In case you missed the call for contributions to the New York Convention taking place in October, it's repeated again in this issue, and we also include our usual collection of editorial content, including section news, an obituary, some product news, and a couple of book reviews as well. Find all this in the January and February edition of the AES Journal, available for download today at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.